Imaragai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, and welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. This week, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison is back to share his unique perspective on life.
Today I want to talk about hearing the voice of God, knowing the voice of God, and being obedient to the voice of God. You know, many times we're called and God speaks to us and we don't do anything about it. The church is full of people that hear from God, but they don't listen or they don't do what God calls them to do. And we're in a time in history where that God's stirring up his people and he's looking for somebody to serve him. He's looking for somebody with not ability, but availability. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a Bible college degree. You just have to have a willingness to want to serve God. And you want to hear from God. You know, I get up every morning and I spend time with God. That's my time with God. That's not anybody else's time. That's just time for me to spend time with God. And if you want to serve God, sometimes there's a price, and people don't want to pay the price for serving God. If you want to build a relationship with your wife or your girlfriend or something, you've got to put time into your relationship. So when you hear from God, you need to act upon it. I was away not long ago, and so I had to go to a specialist in Sydney, and I didn't have the money to go. And you see, sometimes people hear from God and they never act on it. And I said to God, I'm going to ring up and cancel the appointment because I don't have the money to go. You know, I've been driving around on ball tyres for nearly 12 months. Ball tyres. I mean, they were smoother than a baby's bottom. But, you know, God protected me when I drove around. And I cried out to God. I said, God, I need new tyres. And God said to me, when you go to Sydney, take your car. I'm going to give you new tyres. And I said, thank you, Lord. But there's a little problem, God. I don't have any money to get there. And then God spoke to this friend of mine. He said, give him some money to get to Sydney. But, you know, she said, God wants me to give you this money to go to your appointment. But you see, I knew there was only enough money to get me there. But you see, it's good when you love God and trust God, because I knew God was going to get me home. And I didn't have money for tyres either. I got in the car and I went to Sydney. But I went to stay with my daughter first, and the next day, and on the Sunday, I arrived at these people's place. A guy that I'd been talking to, I hadn't even spoken to on the phone, but I've heard from people about him, and he was looking forward to meeting me. But you see, God was so good. God spoke to him that morning to get in his car in Sydney to drive to the Central Coast, and God sent me to the Central Coast. And when we got there, we was having lunch, and this guy was there, and he said to me, Pastor Tony, he said, I heard your testimony on that CD, he said, and it just touched me, and I just cried all the way through it. And he said, have you got anything that you can share with me from God today? And I said, well, let me finish my lunch first. And when I've had the ice cream and that, I said, I'll ask God what he's got for me to share with you. You know what, I just spoke from the heart because I heard God speak to me. And I heard the words that God spoke to me. See, when you hear from God and you're talking to a stranger, you see, only God knows what they need to hear. Only God knows that if you say something and they know only God knew about it and them, then they know you heard from God. And so I just shared what God put on my heart. You know, when I finished, this guy came up and hugged me. He said, you know, I just heard from God. He said, God wants to bless you with some money. I thought, well, you know, he's going to give me $20 or $5 or something like that, you know. And this guy said, no, God wants me to give you $1,000. And I said, you serious? He said, yes. He said, I need your bank account because God wants me to bless you with $1,000. And immediately I thought, not what I can do with $1,000 myself. I knew I had a couple of bills that needed paying urgently, but I said, God, who can I give some money to? Who can I bless? Because when God blesses me, I want to bless other people. I went to Sydney, saw the specialist, and my specialist, I see him once a year. And you know what? Nobody ever talks to him about God, but I do. And he looks forward to my visits. Because see, I don't change. I'm the same every day. And I started talking to him about God and telling him about the radio station and God's going to send me to America, God's going to do this and that. And he said, you make sure you send me CDs of the radio station, everything like that, because he said, I look forward to these visits. And I said, well, this will probably be my last visit. He said, why is that? I said, well, I'm not going to America and taking that machine with me that I sleep with. I said, God's going to heal me.
That was C.C. Winans with Listen to Your Heart. Tony was explaining how he'd gone to the doctors in Sydney and was believing God for a miracle to get home.
I come back that night. I went around the corner and I got two brand new tyres for $50 each. Can you believe that? $50 each. Normally my ties cost $270 each, and I got two for $50. But you know what? It wasn't about the ties, but God's timing is always perfect. Because while I was waiting for my car to get done, this man got out of a truck, and he was huge. He was built like a mountain. See, God works through all situations. I had a Rabideau jumper on. Proud, proud Rabideau boy. And you know what happened? He said, brother, he said, you're in for a good season. And we started talking about football. And he said to me, I don't want to be rude, brother, he said, but I got to sit down. I'm in so much pain. And God said to me, Tony, you go over there and sit with him. Just sit there with him. And then God said to me, now I want you to ask him, can you pray for him? And yet the moment I heard God speak to me, the devil spoke to me at the same time. He said, have a look at that man, brother. He's as big as a mountain. And what if you asked him, can you pray for him, and God doesn't do anything? Man, he'll squash you like a bug. And I said to the devil, I said, my job is to be about my Father's business. And my job is that all I have to do is ask him, can I pray for him? And if he says yes, I'll pray for him. It's none of my business whether God heals him or doesn't heal him. It's God's business. But my job is to do what God asked me. So I said, brother, can I pray for you? And I told him how God had healed me from my arthritis and that the week before. 3 days God healed me completely of my arthritis. In my back, my feet, my hands. And he said, well, all right, I'll give it a go. I prayed for him. Nothing spectacular. Just prayed for him and asked God to heal him. Sitting right there outside the tire place. He got up and walked away and didn't say anything. And I took down the devil said to me, see, God did nothing. But I said, the devil, it's not my problem. I did what God told me to do. I paid for the tires and I'm sitting in the car and I'm just about to drive off and he taps on the window. I said, what's up? He said, I just want to thank you. He said, that's the first time in 30 years I've had no pain in my back. God was faithful. God asked me to pray for him and God healed him. When you hear from God and he wants you to pray for someone, then you go and do it. Because God's going to do something. You see, even if he didn't get healed straight away, the fact that I planted a seed in him, that God cares about him. I'm just waiting for God to touch my diabetes and to take that away from me, take away from my sleep apnea, and to take away my kidney failure. But God does care about our health. He does care about us. And you know, God's in the healing business, and we believe in miracles, and you know, God is a miracle-working God. You see, God speaks to me all the time because I listen and I spend time with God. It's wonderful, you know, like when you hear from God. And it's so good when somebody rings you up and they say, I got a word from God for you. And you hear that word and you know it's got to be God, because the things they say to you is only things that you know about. See, God knows people, and I don't know everybody, but when I meet somebody for the very first time, I ask God to give me something about that person that's going to get them saved, or something that's going to touch their heart and make a difference in their lives. I was in a doctor's surgery once, and the doctor heard my voice in the waiting room. We were friends. In fact, we were Christian brothers, and he was a Christian doctor. And he heard my voice in the waiting room, you know, and he opened the door and he said, Brother, I want you to meet somebody. He said, there's two ladies here. You've got 2 minutes to get them saved. That's a tall order, isn't it? 2 minutes to lead someone to the Lord, someone you never met before. So I did what I do best. I spent 60 seconds talking to God. The clock is ticking. And I said, God, give me something. Give me just a word, one thing, Father God, that's going to touch these women. You know, touch them in their hearts. Anyway, 60 seconds gone by. Then I started to pray then for the next 20 seconds. Clock's running down. You know, I've got about 40 seconds left and nothing from God. You know, I'm getting desperate. Start praying louder because I thought God was deaf. He couldn't hear me. You know, it's like when you talk to old people in the doctor's surgery, you shout at them because you think because they're old, they can't hear you. So, and I'm trying to get all of God's attention in the waiting room, you know, in the doctor's surgery. I'm praying louder because I thought God was asleep for 5 minutes. He might have missed me. Or there wasn't enough light in the room. I'm being black. He mightn't have been able to see me either. And when it got down to 20 seconds, down to 10 seconds, I opened my mouth and God just gave me this word. I said, did you know Jesus mixed with prostitutes and with drunkards and tax collectors? And this woman screamed at me at the top of her voice. She said, shut up, shut up. I said, did I offend you? She said, no, just pray for us to become Christians. Lead us to the Lord. All it took was, you know, did you know Jesus mixed with prostitutes and with drunkards and tax collectors? These two women were prostitutes. I didn't know them from Adam, but God did. When I prayed for them, led them to the Lord, I did something practical. We talked about their profession, being prostitutes. She said, now that I'm saved, she said, well, where do we go from here? Well, I said, we've got two choices. You can go back to work, or you can trust God. And I said, well, I'm going to start you off on the right foot. I took them across to the supermarket and bought them $200 worth of groceries each. Drove them home, prayed through their house, prayed for the kids, and then I left. I say to people in churches, if a person gets saved today, brand new Christian, and they're a prostitute, and they go out and they start working as a prostitute, is it your responsibility to hunt them down with a 25-pound Scofield Bible and beat them over the head and say, you're a Christian now, you've got to stop being a prostitute? No, that's not your job. It's not my job. It's not Sister's job. It's not Steph's job to tell them. When they first get saved, they're born again from the inside. And sometimes the Holy Spirit's got to work from the inside out. The Holy Spirit will change you on the inside. And when he changes you on the inside, it'll reflect on the outside. Because sometimes God's grace is sufficient. They didn't go back to work. And they used to ring my home every week and they'd say to my wife, because I was always busy, never home, they'd say, can you tell your husband that we're not back at work, we're not working? And I came in one night from being out at a council meeting or something like that, and she said to me, she said, these women ring you every week, and all they say is, we're not working. She said, I wish they'd go back to work. And I said, darling, you don't want them to go back to work. They were prostitutes. When you say the word prostitute, it might sound sleazy, but you see, it's the same as being a criminal. Anyone can finish up in jail. Anyone can become a prostitute. It depends on your circumstances. And you see, over the years, I ministered to a lot of prostitutes. I remember sharing this story in church once, and the religious people in church, instead of saying, well, praise God, and getting excited and saying, like, you know, when one sinner comes to repentance and comes to the Lord, the Bible tells us that all the angels in heaven shout, rejoice, and chuck a party. They get excited over one sinner repentance. And I stood up in church and I said, you know, I led two prostitutes to the Lord this week. And the response I got was, well, you're a Christian brother. What are you doing hanging around prostitutes? Not one person got excited. I was excited they got saved. Religion has got a lot to answer for. Instead of getting excited about these two girls coming to know Jesus, you know, I said to them girls when I was driving them home, I said, what caused you into prostitution? Well, she said, it's like this, Pastor. She said, I'm a woman with five kids and I was married. And my husband died suddenly of cancer. She said, I've got no education. I've got nothing. No job skills or nothing. She said, I've got five kids and the only thing I'm good at is sex. So she said, I sold my body to feed my kids. I sold my body to pay the bills. So does that make her a bad person? No, it doesn't. We shouldn't judge people because of the stigma. When somebody's a drug addict or something like that, it's an addiction. When somebody's a gambler, it's an addiction. You know, God's got a cure for all these things. We've only got to ask him. You know, we've got to look at people with compassion the way God does. And God looks at them with compassion. See, God doesn't love the sin in their lives, but he loves the sinner. God set us to set the captive free, not to bind them up with religion. Not to beat them over the head with a Scofield Bible like when I was a kid. You know, you don't put a red cloth over the head and bash them in the head and say, ooh, the demon spirits are coming at them now. You know, when they're shaking, you hit them in the head, because they're going to shake. We just got to trust God. And you don't judge people. You know, learn not to judge people. You don't know their circumstances.
It's okay, I know where we're going. Don't fret, I've been before. Through these valleys, down these long and dangerous roads, yet dark as they seem, trust me. Can trust me. The way may be steep, you can trust me. Let me lead, trust me. Tears give way to smiles. See the joy inside the trial. Don't worry, you're safe with me around. Rest assured, I'm on your side. I won't let you hit the ground. But close as it seems, trust me. Can trust me. The way may be steep, you can trust me. Let me
Trust Me, Crystal Lewis. You've been listening to King's Kids, and Tony has been talking about hearing the voice of God. Next week, Tony continues his stories on this subject. I'm Heidi, and King's Kids will be back at the same time next week.